Priester with Tim O'Malley and John Bryce outside of Notre Dame Stadium. Just spent 45 minutes with Marcus Freeman talking about recruiting, but also talking about Notre Dame's activity in the transfer portal, as well as offensive coordinator talk. And Lauren Landau is Notre Dame's new strength and conditioning coach. Let's start, guys, with the transfers. Three on offense, Leonard, Mitchell, Collins. Two on defense, Clark, Oben, and a kicker, Jeter. And Notre Dame's a better football team already because of this, these six players.
I'm going to channel Marty Biaggi because this is also logic. Graduate transfer kicker forever. That's going to keep happening because there have been a lot of football coaches going through here relying on on touted freshman kickers coming in. You can't put your program on that anymore. They're going to keep bringing in. They might not always bring in a graduate transfer quarterback. They're going to bring in a graduate transfer kicker every single season to Notre Dame.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman was pressed as whether this was the last time he would go with a graduate transfer quarterback, and of course he's not going to paint himself in that corner. I think he'll probably lean that way moving forward after Riley Leonard. But Riley Leonard, again, a really good fit for Notre Dame. I asked about the wide receivers, JB. I call them bigger receivers. Mitchell really isn't a bigger receiver. He is over 6'1", but Collins certainly is. What do you see those guys bring to the wide receiver room?
Well, obviously Mitchell brings a lot of speed, and that's what Marcus Freeman talked about the most when he addressed him. And I think that's the one thing, you know, speed translates. Speed plays at any level. The FCS level, the Group of Five level, the Power Five level. Notre Dame has done wonders to improve its overall team speed, even starting with Marcus Freeman's 1 year as defensive coordinator. It really began there. But Notre Dame is still continuing and must still continue to enhance its speed. I thought Clemson in that November game showed that it still have more defensive speed than what Notre Dame's offense could handle. That's a big part of that. Mitchell is a big part of that. They need some bigger body guys that Riley Leonard can then develop trust with. The way that we saw Sam Hartman develop that trust last August with Jaden Thomas, and then Jaden just couldn't stay healthy. So that, to me, those two guys specifically are what they bring. And then one other note about Riley Leonard, he is an older guy, but he's not a graduate transfer, which Marcus Freeman said ties into the fact that they're having a little bit more leeway with admissions. Not necessarily that anything's being relaxed, but the way it was put to me very emphatically, we now know we don't waste time if we're not going to be able to get a guy in. We can figure out really quickly if we can get a guy in and continue the recruiting process.
Yeah, they got a jump on that process, and they're not done. I don't think they're done. There's still some spots that they need to fill. But Tim, on the defensive side of the ball, RJ Oben, I think, is a really fascinating player. I've said that he's built like a strong side end, but he plays like a rush end. Marcus Freeman kind of left the door open as to exactly where he might end up with Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think the door would be wide open if they had a starting strong side end, because then you could put him at Viper, because as you said, his skill set might be for Viper. But we just talked about on our recruiting podcast when JB and you mentioned, hey, maybe Bryce Young could help out RJ Oben at strong side defensive end. I mean, we're slotting him there because that's where the need is right now. Anybody else would be like Aiden Gobira coming off of injury, Brendan Vernon not coming off of a serious injury, but a redshirt freshman again. That's the spot for him to start, I believe. And then you asked specifically, is Jordan Carter nickel or safety? Because we've started to wonder in film reviews. He did say nickel. I believe that means they're going to need another safety as well. I love Adon Schuler. You like Luke Talich a lot. They like Ben Minnick. You still need a veteran safety to go with Xavier Watts just to be safe going into the season. I mean, you have a defense that knows what it's doing. It'd be great to have one more veteran presence.
I was critical of Jordan Clark in a film review. I stand by that until I see a little bit more. Marcus Freeman mentioned him in the same light as Thomas Harper. I just don't see that right now, but how do you think he can help Notre Dame, JB?
No, you don't see that yet from him on film, but you also don't expect to ever regret taking a guy of that caliber with those genetics, with that football IQ that's already played at a Power 5 level, some, not a ton, but has played at a Power 5 level, and again, understands the game. And so I think he'll be a special teams guy. I think he'll compete and battle there at nickel. We saw Clarence Lewis a little bit there in the open portion of practice on Tuesday morning, I guess that was, and Clarence has played a lot of ball, but he's going to have to compete. And so these coaches talk very specifically about how much they love these guys in recruiting, but they're pretty candid about telling them, we're recruiting you and we're going to try to recruit better than you. And they implement that. And so I think that's what Clark is. He's going to be given a chance to compete. I expect him to at least be a special teams contributor.
Interesting bit of information from Marcus Freeman about Kenny Dillingham, the Arizona State head coach, who actually called Freeman and spoke very highly of Jordan Clark, and that is absolutely a common denominator.
Of his character, of his competitiveness and
character.
Well,
yes, I was going to say, that is the common denominator, that everybody speaks very highly of Jordan Clark, the player, the glue guy, the guy that will blend in really well with the Notre Dame defense.
And it got a little wide open in there in our question and answer session, so I really wanted to ask Marcus. But Brian Kelly used to say, I have the final say, when he, of course he does, and Marcus Freeman does now too, but when a coaching staff disagrees, and when Marcus Freeman might disagree with his coaching staff or agree with some of them, how does he differentiate? What is, that's a take because of me? And he said, it's competitiveness. And he doesn't want to throw the word around competitiveness. He means, these guys should want to compete in everything. That's right. The type of player I want. And that's really interesting for me with the transfer portal, because you spend a year recruiting the other guys, the young guys. You spend a month.
If that,
in the transfer portal. That's if you're cheating. So you spend very little time with the transfer portal.
A month, week.
Yeah. Yes. You have to work your way at back channels to find out. And he said, you know what? Someone will tell you if this is the type of competitiveness you want. And so I think that is kind of his differentiator for grad transfers.
The first revelation of the 45-minute press conference, Marcus Freeman started with Lauren Landau, Notre Dame's new strength and conditioning coach. He said that they vetted 30-plus guys for the position. Fred Hale, it will be up to Landau as to whether he stays with the program. I'm still kicking myself because I was not able to get the question in about the soft tissue injuries that was written about in, frankly, a lousy piece of journalism. But the fact of the matter is there are the percentages of the soft tissue injuries. JB, what do you make of all that, and what do you know about Lauren Landau?
I know he has a really good reputation. Again, I would point out that in one of those anonymous player surveys, while he was at Denver, the strength and conditioning area of the Denver Broncos franchise got an A-minus grade, and it was the highest grade of any element of the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And let's not sugarcoat the fact that frankly, the Broncos sucked most of the years he was there.
Really
and,
bad.
That's pretty candid. That's about as candid as I can get it. I will say this. I texted with one of the other candidates, and he said, I'm curious to see his translation to the college level. There's no denying how smart this guy is. There's no denying how good this guy is at speed and strength training. And there's no denying the fact that this guy's written books about it and has trained a number of high-level athletes. And at the NFL, the only other thing I would caution or really point out is that those guys are sort of doing the bare minimum with the NFL strength coach, because they almost all to a man have personal trainers that they work with.
Right.
And it's so year-round, and so much is limited now. What can be done at the NFL level because of the collective bargaining agreement. So there's so many different layers there. But Marcus was very thorough. You know, they went after the strength coach at Alabama. They went after the strength coach of another program that's in a very prominent postseason position. They went after multiple other NFL guys. They talked to Aaron Wellman from IU. My understanding is he very much wants to look at first going back to the NFL. So it was a very thorough search. And aside from that one article, I can't find nobody's telling me anything negative about Landau.
You know, one of the things that Freeman mentioned, I kind of brought this up in a podcast the other day, is that Landau, you know, I think he can adapt because, like, there was a question about whether he can go from pro to the younger guys. Well, his career is based around one-on-one individual, you know, conversations and teaching, and that's what Marcus Freeman said he liked about him. There's teaching an entire 120 person team, and then there's the individual relationships.
Yeah, and it's not all going to be up to him. That's why I think it's very important that he's bringing in his own staff, and hope maybe Fred Hale will be part of that staff. But he's the director of player performance. It's not just strength and conditioning anymore. Right. It goes deep. It goes with his relationship with nutrition. It was a leadership position when Brian Kelly said it in 2010 when he brought in Paul Longo. Imagine the level of the leadership position that director of football performance is now compared to them, and everything that has to go into it. And I thought there was good points brought up in our podcast. I don't want to jump all over them here, but look, there's some guys on this upperclassman here that are willing to meet you way more than halfway, and that is going to help his assimilation. And all the freshmen have to learn. Most of them don't know how to eat. Christian Gray's talking about all he eats is Airheads. That had to stop too. I mean, the young kids are hard to teach with this. They will come along in the program.
Yeah. Lastly, we talking about offensive coordinator. There's no timetable on that. I know a lot of people have been asking Irish Illustrated, well, where's your hit list, which we put out last year, and it was necessary because it was wide open. Our sense is that it's not wide open. We're not saying that Mike Denbrock is absolutely going to be the offensive coordinator. But he's the odds on, he is the high odds on favorite right now.
Yeah. There's real smoke with the Denbrock situation. I also think it's a very concentric circle of people that Marcus Freeman is looking at. He's got a very clear idea. He went through this not even a year ago. It was February when Tommy Rees abruptly bolted, and then sort of, you know, that search ended up kind of a debacle. But then they went with Jared Parker. So he's more prepared for that this time. Again, I'll reiterate, they got Al Golden in a good spot. They feel like they're going to keep Al Golden for a few more years. I think that gives him a added cushion or a comfort as he approaches this offensive coordinator search.
It was during hockey season, if you recall, last year.
Really?
Search,
yes. It was. Yeah, they might have even had a couple coach visits.
It was flight tracking season.
Tim, if it is Denbrock, and as we wrap up here with this comment, what do you think he brings to the equation? Let me just say, you would have two really veteran coordinators now, and I think Mike Denbrock is a much better play caller, offensive coordinator for the experience at Cincinnati and LSU.
Look, he took the hit in 2016 when Brian Kelly, it was either Brian Kelly and his staff or Brian Kelly's staff. I that had to happen. It was, I don't think Brian Kelly necessarily wanted to do that, and you could tell because he brought Mike Denbrock down to LSU when he had the chance. The veteran aspect is huge for me. The tight end aspect is less. I know he's coached tight ends at two stints at Notre Dame. That you can find an offensive coordinator that can coach tight ends as well. I think it would be a great value add. I do stick with the fact that it doesn't have to be a veteran as much in Marcus Freeman's third year and with keeping Al Golden there as it did in Marcus Freeman's first year when they got Al Golden.
Yeah, that's true.
But look, Denbrock, Kirby Moore, and as I said, we are not experts on everything position coaches have done all over college football, but we do have a good body of work with Mike Denbrock. Yeah.
That's it here from Notre Dame Stadium. This has been Irish Illustrated's Instant Analysis.